So today we are going to talk about Bhagavad Gita, and we are going to talk about various commentaries of Bhagavad Gita. Now, there are many commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. There are around 600 to 700 commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. Everybody from cricketer to philosopher to politician, freedom fighters, scientist, everybody has commented on Bhagavad Gita. But what I've done is, we can categorize these commentaries in four categories. As far as my analysis is concerned. And the four categories are a fool's paradise commentary, and then twisted meaning, and then mystic touch, and as it is. These are broad categories. Now, what do I mean by this? Well, let's just first consider these kind of commentaries, fool's paradise commentaries. Now, many people, for example, I'll just give you this example of Dr. Krishna Bhatt. He's some doctor. I think he's in India somewhere, in Kanpur. And he has written a commentary, Gita Today. And what he writes, quote, so far, Gita has been approached and commented upon by gurus, bhaktas, philosophers, intellectuals, moralists, and so on. What is a seeker's approach then? To be honest, I do not know. And he's writing a commentary on Bhagavad Gita. He's saying, I do not know, but still, I'll write a commentary on Bhagavad Gita. And what he says, so the point is, how does he propose to write commentary on Bhagavad Gita if he doesn't know, first of all? He says, continue, quotes, I will go with the flow. What kind of flow? Who knows? I am not writing Gita. Every time I sit to write, something flows. He's a crazy man. I guess that is the approach of Bhagavad Gita. So this is an intelligent fool. He himself claims in his preface that he doesn't know Bhagavad Gita. To be honest, and he's honest, he thinks he's humble, and he's writing a commentary on Bhagavad Gita. So these kind of people who any commentary where you find these words, I guess, maybe, I think, I'll go with the flow, something like this, immediately you can categorize it in fool's paradise commentaries. They're fools. Don't read the commentary. Don't read. You're not supposed to read everything under the sun. You're not supposed to read. We are supposed to read bona fide commentaries, because otherwise you'll get confused. Until unless you are expert in philosophy. Until unless you have to preach and you have to help people get rid of misconceptions. So, second type of commentaries are twisted meaning. Why we are categorizing commentaries in these categories? Because when you go to market, when you go in the market, you go to Rishikesh, Haridwar. I just visited Rishikesh. And there are many people from foreign countries, they are visiting that places. And there are so many Gitas by this Swami, by that Swami, this Paramahamsa. And people think these are bona fide commentaries. People think, let's read, and they read, and then they get messed up. And finally, when they get messed up, then they conclude that Gita is useless. It is confusing. But it's not. People have made it confusing. So that is why we are categorizing these commentaries in four categories. The next category is twisted meaning. Now, any commentary, you find the meaning twisted. That means you find the meaning quite disconnected from the true meaning of Bhagavad Gita. That's the meaning of twisted meaning commentaries. Now, how will you recognize this? If you're a layman, if you're an ignorant person, how do you recognize this? That the meaning is disconnected from the true meaning of Bhagavad Gita. Only an expert can recognize. Best way to do this is, you open the book and go to the first page. Or go to the last page. It depends on the printer. And you just go and see who has written this commentary. Now, generally, this commentary, if these commentaries are written by university professors or Sanskrit Shastris, definitely take it for granted. It is sophisticated, scholarly, but it is twisted. Because these people who have read from professors, Shastris, they are interested in PhD. They are interested in Krishna. And they just want to publish their PhD and write some the stupid trash on Bhagavad Gita, what their own speculations. And that's why they screw its meaning, give their own flavor to the text, and they use their knowledge for a bad cause. They deviate, they rather than helping people, they confuse people. So that's the meaning, that's the twisted meaning commentaries. And the next commentaries are mystic touch. These are quite famous because, you know, these are written by, if any commentary where you find words like pure joy, divine light, you find these kind of words, or maybe sublime emotions, a book to attain immortality. If such kind of abstract words are there, they are not precise words, they are abstract. Definitely, these are mystic touch commentaries. They have given a mystic touch, their own touch to these commentaries. These are written by yogis, these kind of commentaries. Or Shri Shri so-and-so, or Baba so-and-so, or Paramahams so-and-so. They write these kind of commentaries. Or New Age gurus, all these kind of people, they write these commentaries. Generally, in their preface, they write that these kind of people, we have got so much spiritual training, mystic experiences, so people get influenced, you know, this Swami is great, so many years he's been Himalayas, he's got this kind of experience, and they tend to read this kind of commentaries, but be careful, because in their commentaries, everything is inconceivable. That's a problem. And therefore, they appear true, but they cannot be proved wrong. That's a problem with that. Everything is nice, everything is true, but yet everything is not true. You can't prove them wrong. Because if you read the commentaries, they'll say, see, who is God? God is immortal wisdom. He's omnipresent. That's okay. But then who is God? It's not defined. What's his name? God knows. That's the point. So these are some mystic touch commentaries. Don't read them. And the last kind of commentaries are as it is. These as it is commentaries are written by pure saints who are well trained in scriptures, who are from bona fide disciplic succession, who give precise definitions, not abstract words, who do not concoct and speculate like fool's paradise commentaries, who do not twist their meanings, who give meanings according to previous saints and previous authorities. Of course, the method of presentation might be different. Method might be practical. So just like Prabhupada used to say, we are presenting old wine in new bottle. That's the idea. It's same thing, but in new way, according to the people who are hearing. If they are scientific people, it's going to present in scientific way. If the general people, it can be presented in general way. That's all. But the message is the same. Message is the same. So that is why these commentaries are written in a practical way, but according to tradition. So this is as it is commentary, just like Srila Prabhupada has written Bhagavad Gita as it is. Prabhupada was genius. Prabhupada is ISKCON founder Acharya. International Society for Krishna Conscious founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada. He has written a book, commentary on Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita as it is, which is, I think maximum number of copies sold are of this Bhagavad Gita as it is. Initially, it was published by Macmillan Publishers when Prabhupada went to America. But now it is printed by our ISKCON Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. And people who read it, all these commentaries, if you read them, Prabhupada himself told, there's so many commentaries, people read them, but nobody has understood Krishna. Not a single person have become a pure devotee of Krishna. So what kind of commentaries are there? But Srila Prabhupada's book, if this Bhagavad Gita as it is, if anybody reads, first line is Krishna is God. Simple. If you read all of the commentaries, you go through an entire book, and after the reading, you will ask yourself, who is God? But this commentary as it is, it's so impressive because I added so many commentaries and I could not understand, I could not even understand and know who is God. And question, I was at the same point when I began reading all these commentaries. And Prabhupada, right in the first line, he writes, Krishna is a Supreme Personality of God. It's such a clear understanding. And aim of life is to develop love of God. It's not to just become eternal, immortal, inconceivable, a light, a cloud or whatever, you know, whatever they want to become. It's not like that. So that's as it is commentary. So we have four categories of commentaries: Fool's Paradise, Twisted Meaning, Mystic Touch, as it is. Gita is by far one of the greatest metaphysical Vedantic understanding according to Whitehead, and everybody praises Gita, the book of Sanatan Dharma, the book of Hinduism, if you want to call it's Gita. And it's deep. Everybody, all philosophers all around the world, they praise Gita for its depth, for its philosophical understanding. But to access that philosophical understanding, to access that depth, you need to read as it is commentaries. Otherwise, it's very confusing. Because every verse of Gita, it is having at least 10 levels of meaning. At least 10 levels. And you can extend it up to 1000 levels. That's said in Skanda Puran, that Trayo Artha Veda Dasha Artha Mahabharata. It's in Sanskrit. Minimum 10 levels of meaning of Bhagavad Gita. So what I mean is, every verse of Bhagavad Gita can be interpreted in 10 ways. And 10 bona fide ways, not speculated ways, according which are the meanings which are matching with Vedic scriptures. Minimum, and you can go up to 1000. You can keep on going. This is the beauty of Gita. You can keep on going. You can keep on taking out meanings after meanings. This is the beauty of Vedanta, Upanishads, and Gita is the essence of all Upanishads. But you can't speculate. That's the point. You should not speculate. Even by speculation, we can keep on going and going and going and going. There's no end for that. I heard that people are offering seminars on Bhagavad Gita. How to be good fighter. There's a seminar on Bhagavad Gita. How to be a good manager through Gita. Stress, leadership qualities through Gita. These military people, they were calling me. And they were asking me, please give a seminar on Gita. I'll give. So I asked them, so what do you want? So please inspire our people to fight like Arjuna. that's not the message of Bhagavad Gita. You can please call somebody else, but I'm not going to speak on like that. So my point is, Gita is such a book. Whatever you want, you can speak through Bhagavad Gita. You can just speculate something, and you can put Gita in front of you and speak through it. That's all. You can make Gita as your mouthpiece. That's all. Okay, Gita says this. Gita says, do your work and don't worry about results. This is the message of Gita. Be a good person, be a gentleman. And you can find a verse among 800 verses, among 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita. You can find a verse which can support your views, and you can claim Gita speaks this. Simple. You can also say Gita teaches us how to eat balanced food, how to keep health, how to be healthy. And definitely you can find a verse to support your view, be healthy, in Bhagavad Gita. In 16th chapter there's a verse. In 14th chapter there's a verse. yukta ahar viharase cha. In 6th chapter there is a verse. So, but the point is, you can take a novel and you can say this novel, the message of this novel is that don't wear slippers. And there's a line in a, and anybody asks, come on, what's this message? Well, on page number 100, it's written that Mr. Tom, he didn't used to wear slippers. So this is a message. But this is not the message. This is an information in that book. The message is something else. Message of that novel might be some humor or violence or whatever. A, B, C, D, X, Y, Z. So, oh yeah. So there was a person who was reading a scripture. And he read that, don't enter the temple. That's all. Don't go to temple. And he stopped going. Finish. And then some priest, they asked him, so why are you not coming to temple nowadays? So he told, well, it's given in scriptures, don't go to temple. I told, come on, you spent a whole life and there's no statement like that. I'll show you. And then he showed him. Then they saw, you know, this, it was written, don't go to temple. But that was the last line of that page. And they turned that page and next page it was written, wearing slippers. So this is the problem with half knowledge. Half knowledge is very dangerous. That is why we should read Gita according to bona fide commentaries, because bona fide commentaries take the entire view and then give us a message, rather than taking one verse from here, one verse from there, and just speaking their own nonsense, twisting the meanings or foolishly speculating or giving the mystic touch or whatever, making it ambiguous. So all these, there's such kind of problems. So we should keep in mind, next time, the message of this lecture is, next time you want to read Gita, please check who is the author, first of all. That author is a university professor, forget it. The author is Sanskrit Shastri, forget it. If the author is some Baba, some Yogi, some Sri Sri or whatever, forget it. And the next thing you should do is, go to the preface, read it. If in that preface you find these words like divine love or immortality, inconceivable, some God in the cloud, something like this, just don't read it. Finish it. It's ambiguous. And these two things can help you not to be fooled by stupid commentaries. And then the next thing you do is, you go to the preface and there disciplic succession will be mentioned. Any bona fide commentary, they will mention disciplic succession. Just like Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is commentary. You go to Google, just type Bhagavad Gita as it is and download that copy and go to the page number, probably it will be like 20th or 30th page, something like this, after the introduction. Mm-hmm. There will be a disciplic succession and you, then you read that book and you will understand what is Gita all about. That's the message of this lecture. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? Yeah.
Sometimes people may think that we would like to, before coming to any conclusion, we would like to review all, and then
people say this,
then take a decision and then come to the understanding that this is the right version and this is what we should follow.
Yeah, that's what,
instead of having an approach, okay, first deciding based on the parameters and then reading the whole bunch.
No, that's what I'm telling. People want to first do research. They don't want to be biased. Why should I read ISKCON book? Of course, that's good. And they want to take all the books, do their research, good, and then they want to decide which book should I read. And that's a genuine thing. You can do like that. But the point is, to do some research, you should have some guidelines. That how to choose right commentaries from wrong commentaries. Some guidelines has to be there, isn't it? So this lecture, I'm trying to provide some guidelines. And it makes sense. If you find these words, sublime emotions, divine light, pure joy, This is all abstract. These kind of commentaries, of course, you need to write a commentary on these kind of commentaries. So what's the point of writing a commentary like this? So definitely, in your research, if you find these kind of words, you have to leave those kind of commentaries because you don't get anything out of it. You need another commentator. And if you find a commentary where the person himself is writing, to be honest, I do not know. Why do you want to read that? So these kind of guidelines, I'm not giving a biased guideline. I'm giving a guidelines which is common sense. And you do your research, use these guidelines, and then come to a conclusion. And conclusion will be that as it is commentaries, you will find as it is commentaries very much connected with the true meaning of Bhagavad Gita. And you can read that book, simple. So this lecture will help us to identify true Bhagavad Gita. That's it. This is okay. Okay, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.